Well, a few of you probably know this, but I just spent a couple of days in Florida, not vacationing, but packing up my mom's apartment. Recently, I moved my mom back to Michigan about 3 weeks ago and have her now in an assisted living situation, which is much better for her. I had completely written out my sermon and I brought it to Florida to practice, which I did. But while I was down there, I started having some different thoughts, so I'm going to do a different spin on this sermon. So as you can see, I don't normally have my notes that I would have in front of me. So yeah, I put on extra deodorant and pray for me, please. So as Becky had mentioned, I think most of the time when we hear this story, we think about physical blindness and we think about spiritual blindness. And I think many pastors have done a remarkable job preaching on that. But those of you who I've talked to recently, those of you in the Sunday morning class, know that over the last year, I have really focused a lot on relationships. So I'm going to do a different spin on this reading and talk about relationships. The first relationship I want to talk about is one of disbelief. And I'd like to tell you a story about a guy that I worked with when I was an elementary school teacher. He was brought up in a liberal Catholic family, and they were very religious but not spiritual. And by that I mean, you know, he knew how to cross himself. He knew when he came into the church, which he rarely did, but when he came into the Catholic Church, he would get some holy water and dip it on him. He knew the rosary. He knew all the prayers that needed to be recited. But he really didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And as he went through life, he had a few things happen in his life that really kind of turned him off to God. One summer, his son, who was in college, got a job. And he was working downtown Detroit. And he called his dad up and he said, "Dad, I had some car trouble, so I dropped my car off on the way to work. And I had a friend pick me up, but unfortunately, he can't drive me home, so I need a ride home." And his dad said, "No problem, I'll come pick you up. What time do you get off?" And he said, "Oh, around 5, but you actually need to come into the building to get me because I left my cell phone in my car and now it's in the shop." So his dad said, "No problem." So his dad got the address and drove, and lo and behold, came to the Archdiocese of Detroit. His son had gotten a job entering data for the Archdiocese. And as my friend pulled up, he realized that behind the building, there were some street people that were dumpster diving, trying to get some food. There was a man urinating on the side of the building. And it wasn't a pleasant feeling or sight for somebody who had come from the Dearborn area. So he went to enter the building and he realized that the door was locked. And then he noticed there was a sign that you had to get buzzed in. So he rang the buzzer and the secretary asked him who he was and he said, "I'm here to pick up my son." And so the secretary buzzed him in. And as he went in, my friend told me that he was just blown away by how elegant the furnishings were in the Archdiocese of Detroit. There were beautiful oriental carpets, there were carvings, statues, chandeliers, And it made him even more angry with God, even though he should have been angry at the church. It made him angry knowing that outside there were people who were dumpster diving, who didn't have a place to live. And here was the Archdiocese of Detroit with these opulent furnishings. So he picked up his son and they drove home, and he really didn't speak about it. But about 2 weeks after that, he asked me, he said, "Mike, do you have a few minutes? Can you come into my classroom?" And I said, "Sure." And so I came into his classroom. This was before school had started, and he shut the door. So I knew he wanted to talk to me about something pretty important and pretty personal. And he said, "My daughter came home from college. She was going to Michigan State. And she told me, Dad, I have some good news and I have some bad news. Which would you like to hear first?" So he said, "I'd like to hear the good news." And she said, "I have decided to follow Christ. I have become a Christian." And my friend said, "Okay, so what's the bad news?" And she said, "Dad, the bad news is you're going to hell." And so my friend said, "Mike, is this true?" And I said, "Well, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?" And he said, "No, I don't believe any of that stuff." And I said, "You're going to hell." this whole relationship of disbelief, in this scripture that we read, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, had this same sort of disbelief. They had this hardened heart against Jesus. Jesus was a radical. You know, he was not dressed in fine, elegant outfits like the religious leaders. He was dressed much like the carpenter that he was. And so the religious leaders, every chance they got, they butted heads with Jesus. And Jesus, quite frankly, butted back. So the next relationship I want to talk about, or I would like to talk about, is that of skepticism. And I have a friend, and I'm not going to mention names. Hopefully I won't drop a name here. But he's a very skeptical person. And I was in a working relationship with him, so normally I don't hang out with skeptical people because I find it to be very draining. People who are always challenging every single thing that you say or you believe. And when you think about this story or this passage that we read, there were skeptical people, the neighbors of the blind man. You know, they couldn't even agree among themselves about, is this actually the man, or is this somebody who just looks like him? So they were very skeptical. The next relationship I'd like to talk about is one that is fear-filled. And as many of you probably know, I work with, as a missionary to the University of Michigan Dearborn International students. And many of them are from India, China, and we do have a few from the Middle East. I cannot tell you how many of these students and young adults have come to Christ, and that just makes me so happy. And not because of anything that I've done, because we all know that people only come to Christ because God softens their hearts, and it's God's doing. It's not what we do. But so many of them have met with me privately and said, "Pastor, you know, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior," and they know that makes me real excited. But they also let me know that they cannot share it, because if the word gets back to their family, they will either be disowned or even worse, maybe even killed. And so keep all of them in your prayers. We have many international students who are Christ followers, but because of that family tie, they are having difficulty announcing to their parents and family that they are believers. So they are fear-filled. And in this scripture that we read, we also have the parents of the blind man who are fear-filled. They are worried about saying too much because they don't want to be thrown out of the synagogue. You know, thank goodness nothing like that happens today, but as you probably agree, it does. Even in Christian churches, there are times where people are shunned or actually asked not to come back because of some of their beliefs. And then the last relationship I want to talk to you about is one where people share Christ freely. Now, I was with an international student about 2 weeks ago who wanted to talk to me about a few things going on in his life. And he asked me if we could go someplace kind of away from campus and kind of private. So my favorite place to go, especially when the weather is nice, is down to the Detroit Riverwalk. So we drove down to Detroit, and I parked my car, and we got out. And I really find that many times walking with somebody who's not facing you directly is the best way to get information from them. So he was sharing some things about things going on in his life and questions that he had. And all of a sudden, there was a woman walking towards us who I thought was just going to pass us. And she stopped us, and she said, and she looked directly at me, and she said, "Sir, may I have a moment of your time?" And I thought she was going to ask me for directions or something that, you know, I have no knowledge of when I'm downtown. And I said, "Sure." And she said, "How sure are you that if you would die today, that you would go to heaven?" And I said, "I'm 100% sure." And she said, "Really? Why do you say that?" And I said, "Because I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I have that assurance of salvation. He went to the cross for me, and he has promised me eternal life." And as we talked a little bit more, I found out that this lady has spent the last 5 years sharing this same message with people and witnessing to them along the Detroit River. She lives downtown. And when you think about this passage that we read, likewise, this man who once was blind and now who can see freely shared his belief in Jesus. Kind of slow at first, but, kind of sarcastic as he talked with the religious leaders. You know, "Do you want to become his disciple too?" He got his pokes in. But when Jesus actually revealed to him who he was, he bowed down and worshiped him. May we all do that. In Jesus' name, amen.